Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's of course three different sections to it. The Adi Leela, the Madhya, the middle Leela, and the Antya Leela, which is the final pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this Adi Leela, or the first pastimes of Krishna, of Mahaprabhu, 17 chapters. And these 17 chapters describe up to the point of Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. But all the Adi Leela isn't devoted to the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. The first 12 chapters are more or less a preface to the book. And then the beginning with 13, so just the final five chapters explain in brief, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, explain in brief in sutras and codes the early pastimes of Mahaprabhu up to the point of his taking sannyas. And the reason why Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that he's doing this is because Vrindavan Das Thakur has explained these pastimes in great detail, and he doesn't want to be repetitious because these are authoritatively explained, even though there are some differences in the explanations. But because Vrindavan Das Thakur, as we'll hear many times, Kaviraj Goswami says, just listen to, please read Chaitanya Mangal or Chaitanya Bhagavat, because this book is written by the Vyas of Chaitanya Leela, Maharaj Mithier, and the Vyas of Chaitanya Leela is Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. So the first 12 chapters, the preface to Chaitanya Charitamrita, is also divided into two parts. The first part describes up to chapter 7, it seems. It describes and it explains the first 14 verses of the first chapter in the invocation that Krishnadas Kaviraj gives in the first 14 verses of the first chapter describes quite a few very important topics, describing Mahaprabhu in some of the verses. Then it goes on to section of the verses describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Nityananda Prabhu, then Advaita, and then the Panchatattva. So those 14 verses are expanded upon in a very wonderful way, because these truths, the importance of Mahaprabhu and what his specific contribution is, and the meaning of Mahaprabhu's advent is described in several introductory verses again of the 14. I can't remember the exact number of the division. It'll come up, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj in chapters describes in detail the deep meaning of these verses, and it's quite astounding, actually, who these personalities are and what their purpose in coming to this world was. So the first 14 verses describe that, and the first 7 chapters expand all those verses. Then in the and finally in the 7th chapter, it's called, Prabhupada has translated it as Lord Chaitanya in 5 features, which basically describes the absolute truth and how the 5 personalities of the Panchatattva together with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahaprabhu, this comprises the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth means that which nothing is separate from. This is the Absolute Reality. In the Bhagavatam, this is the Absolute Truth is described in the first verse as the Param Satyam, or which literally means the Absolute Truth or the Supreme Truth. And this Supreme Truth is described later on in the Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, as Vedanti Tattvavedas Tattvamyas Jnanam Adhyayam, as non-dual knowledge. It is non-dual. That means there is nothing separate from it. So that is, when there is something separate, that is the definition of duality. But this Absolute Truth, there is nothing separate from it. And this is what this is. And Prabhupada in the first, the purport to the first verse of the Bhagavatam, he describes the difference between the conception of the Absolute Truth and the conception of God. And God means the Ishwara, or the controller. And when the Christians when they're doing their preaching in India, trying to convert the poor heathens, when they translate God, they want the right word for God, the word that exactly describes what they mean by God. They use the word Ishwara, which means the controller. But the Absolute Truth is a different conception of what God is, of who He is, of what His position is. So He's the all-inclusive. So yes, He controls, but His being the controller implies it limits Him in one sense, because He doesn't have the capacity to be controlled, even if he's the controller. So in any case, the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the great followers of Mahaprabhu give the most exalted conception and most complete conception of what the Absolute Truth is. And ultimately, that Absolute Truth, Vedanti Tat Tattva Vidyas Tattvamya Jnanam Adayam Brahmaiti, it can be understood in one out of three ways. It's Brahman, which means the oneness of everything, that the ultimate spiritual nature of everything. Paramatma, the Absolute Truth with qualities. One time I was actually in Perth. I walked into somehow or another into a Christian Science, one of their reading rooms or something. So I think I was trying to get someone to help me with my neck or something, like that, on my back. But then, but the lady wasn't quite interested in that. But I asked them what their conception of God is. And then, because I wanted to understand who they were worshipping. So I can't remember exactly what she said, but I said, oh, that if he has qualities, that implies he has personalities. Because they don't know anything, of course, about the personality of God. But I said, qualities implies personality. So what she was describing to me, who they were worshipping, sounded like something like Paramatma. So I said, qualities implies personality. Who is the personality who you're worshipping? And she said, no, qualities don't necessarily imply personality, because look at the wind. The wind has qualities, but the wind doesn't have personalities. Of course, from the Vedic point of view, we see Vayu behind the wind. But when that Mataji said that, she actually stopped me for a few minutes. I said, wait a second, I'm always saying that qualities implies personality. But then I understood also that that the Paramatma is something like that. He has qualities, but he doesn't have a full personality like Krishna does. Like Krishna has such a unique amazing personality. So therefore, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Savite. So that absolute truth, depending upon how he is worshipped, one can understand him in one out of these three ways. If one does practices dhyan, which has its, as its heart renunciation and placing one in the mode of goodness, then satvam sandayate jnanam, one will understand the absolute truth as the all-pervasive tatvamasi, that nothing is different from aham brahmasmi. We are all Brahman, everything is Brahman. Soham, everything is that. But if one worships, one approaches the absolute truth through yoga, then through that meditation, of course one can do yoga to attain an impersonal realization, but one can also attain Paramatma realization. But then if one worships in a very, very a personal way the absolute truth through bhakti, then one can attain realization of the absolute truth as Bhagawan, he who possesses all opulence. And then one, if one worships that absolute truth with bhakti, with all reverence, one can go to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and then the topmost planet of the spiritual world, the topmost realm, is meant for those who worship the absolute truth, Bhagavan, in the most special, the most pure and sanctified way. Those personalities, the most selfless way, where love is so dominant, completely dominant, in a specific mood, that love is dominant. With a that love has such a sweetness, as I was hearing today, and it's in the last chapter of the Adilila, in chapter 17, how Krishna, when facing the love of Srimati Radharani, then he was trying to hide himself in a forearm form, but he was completely unable to hide his actual ultimate personality when faced with the love of Srimati Radharani. He, the absolute truth, the supreme controller, was so much brought under the sway of her love that he was controlled, that he was forced to reveal himself as Krishna in his two-armed form. So this hints at the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the special gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all this will be described, and then Nityananda Prabhu, who is Nityananda, what is his position, Advaita Charja, that's in chapter 6 is Advaita Charja. In chapter 1, we'll discuss, or Kaviraj Goswami discusses the spiritual masters, because this is the beginning of the process, that one can't approach the absolute truth unless the guidance and blessings of the spiritual masters are there. And it's clear here, Bandeham Sri Gurun, Sri Dutal Bhattakamun, spiritual masters, as we'll hear, is in plural. Then the next two chapters, 2 and 3, are on the 2 is an introduction to Mahaprabhu. Third chapter is the external reasons. Not external meaning superficial, but the external reasons for Mahaprabhu's advent to spread the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of holy names. And chapter 4 is the confidential. What does confidential mean? Secret, you know. That is private. Yeah, the hint of the word of intimacy is in there. It's secret, and it's confidential. It's not disclosed to everyone. It's very, very private. So that it's going to be an incredibly intimate glimpse into the private and confidential heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in chapter 4. So those three chapters, 2, 3, and 4. Will describe Mahaprabhu. Then chapter 5, Nityananda. Chapter 6, Advaita Charja. Chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya. in five features, which means the Panchatattva. All these different aspects of the Absolute Truth. And in chapter 8, there's a little, I think there's a little about Srivas and Gadadha. Maybe that's a little, but it's mostly on how this book became written. How Krishnadas Kaviraj was inspired and empowered to write this book, which really is the, Prabhupada called it, a postgraduate study of the philosophy, the Bhagavad Gita meaning being the primary study, the Bhagavata meaning the graduate study, and then like master's degree, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. It takes, as the Bhagavatam in one sense begins on from the point that he left surrender, and it only describes bhakti. So similarly, Chaitanya Charitamrita begins, practically speaking, although everything, it's quite such an amazing book, everything is described on many, many topics. It doesn't describe how to fix cars, I found out, but it describes so many topics in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many topics it discusses, Vedanta described. So many books are actually covered, from Vedanta to Chaitanya Bhagavat in brief, Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu, like the devotion, Ujjayini and Lamani. It discusses the Buddhist philosophy. It discusses, to some degree, the philosophy of Balabhacharya. It discusses the philosophy of Madhvacharya. And the Sri Sampradaya discusses, and finally, ultimately, especially in Antilita, it discusses the Gaudiya Siddhanta, the topmost aspect of the Gaudiya Siddhanta of what Mahaprabhu, or the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his incredible ecstasies. In the final stage of his life, when he was fully immersed in the love of Srimati Radharani, or Krishna in the mood, was experiencing fully the separation of Srimati Radharani that Srimati Radharani experienced. So it's such an incredible book. So after describing how Krishnadas Kaviraj describes how he came to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita, this incredible book, which on the postgraduate study of religion, the most advanced study, because it gives the most intimate and very private, confidential truths about what the highest reaches of religion, the highest rungs on the yoga ladder, the highest and most intimate connections with the Supreme. So this is going to be discussed. And then after, because very, very rare that someone has a clear conception of religion and its goal. What's the purpose of a religious activity? People, even pious people and religious people, really don't have a clear conception of what the goal of religion actually is. What is the purpose? To what degree the conception of the relationship with the Supreme can be developed and lived within. So Mahaprabhu reveals this to the highest degree and the most intimate degree. So after describing how the book was written in chapter 8, then in to complete the preface, 10, 11, and 12 describe the followers of Mahaprabhu, and the analogy is given, or the metaphor that of Mahaprabhu being a great tree, and the followers and the grand followers and the followers, the descendants, disciplined descendants of this tree are coming down to this day. So there are three chapters describing that. And 11 is 10. Nine describes this desire tree of devotional service, as it's entitled here, the trunk branches and sub branches of the Chaitanya tree. There's in 12 the expansions of Nityananda, all the followers of Nityananda, all the followers of Advaita Charya and Gadadhar in chapter 12. And then 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 describe the different leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at different stages of his childhood. And again, these are described in more detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the Adikanda and the Madhyakanda. The Adikanda of Chaitanya Bhagavat describes up to the point, here the Adilila describes until Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, and the Adikanda Adilila describes that, and the Adikanda Chaitanya Bhagavat describes up his pastimes of scholarship up to the point of his taking initiation from Sripada Ishalpuri. And the beginning of Madhyakanda, Madhya section, and Chaitanya Bhagavat describes how Mahaprabhu began the Sankirtan movement and his activities in pursuance of that. And then finally, right at the end of Madhya Lila, Mahaprabhu takes sannyas. So the beginning of Madhya Lila will begin with Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas. Okay. Let me read some. The first 14 verses, there are no purports to these verses. Prabhupada doesn't have purports. And sometimes we read purports and sometimes perhaps we won't. These verses don't have purports because those other chapters are the purports up to the 7th chapter. They're the purports to these verses. So the first one is obeisances to the spiritual master. So that will, and that's the spiritual masters again. So it's Bande Guru Nisha Bhaktan Isham Isavatara Karikalkan. Bande Guru Nisha Bhaktan Isham Isavatara Kan. Tad Prakasam Tat Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangyakam. So he begins his book, Kaviraj Goswami, with obeisances. In the Western tradition, it is said that the most important line of a book, which is the first line. Why?
It's the precedent.
Yes, but that's not the reason that's given. Certainly has to set a tone for the rest. Why is it the most important book?
Books using those four lines.
Huh?
We didn't tell if I'm going
to
buy it or not.
Now you're getting closer.
The first
sentence is going to, except for the kind of people who go like this. I mean, start reading from the back for some reason a lot of times. But as I said, it's the most important line of the book, because if you lose the reader's attention in the first line, he can just close it and he won't read the second line. It's an important point for writing. But here, there's a different... the reader isn't the one who's primarily in the mind of the author here. The person who's primarily in the mind is the spiritual master. Spiritual masters, and he wants to evoke auspiciousness to get blessings to complete the book in an auspicious way that fulfills his purpose. And this is a difference between this very devout and pure consciousness and the Western type of consciousness, when it is not neither devout nor pure, is because in Western consciousness, not only Western consciousness, but impure consciousness means that everything rests upon me and my potency and my power. And pious consciousness means that I may have my power and my potency, but ultimately it's extremely insignificant, so I need the auspicious blessings to be successful. So this is the first thing he does. He requests for blessings by offering his respectful obeisances. Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters. And note that's in plural. Vande Gurun. Gurun is plural of Guru. Isha Bhaktan. So he's offering obeisances. To who? First, spiritual masters. Second, Isha Bhaktan. The devotees of the Lord. The bhaktas. And then the third thing, Tat Prakasham. The Lord's incarnation, his plenary portion, the Tat Shakti. So Cha is also the Lord's Shakti. So this is really the, he's talking about the Panchatattva here. This is breaking the absolute truth up into different divisions, categories, the aspect, to its different aspects. And Krishna Chaitanya Samyakam. Unto the primeval Lord himself. Say Krishna Chaitanya. What does primeval mean? So here, I'll read the verse again. So the first chapter is going to be, as it's entitled, to offer obeisances to the spiritual masters. So if I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Second verse. Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Everyone. Nityananda Sahodita Gauralaya Pushpanvita. Yes, you have it right. Pushpavanto. Pushpavanta Chitro Sandao Tamonudao. I offer my respectful obeisances and to Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaura to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benedictions upon all. Yadadvaitam vamo panasari tad as apyasyatanova. Ya atmana yami purusha iti so shamsa vibhavaha sarishvarai puno ya iriha bhagavan sa sayam mayam na chaitanya krishna jagati para tattvam paramiha. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman, is but the effulgence of his body. And the Lord, known as the Supersoul, is but his localized plenary portion. What does plenary mean? Is that word we use? It means complete. So a portion would imply, just like if we have, if I have a, if say if there's a piece of cake and I take a portion from it. So it being plenary or complete, unless you say it's a unit of himself, but it would appear to it couldn't be equal to that cake that I took the piece from. But in spiritual mathematics, 1 minus 1 still equals 1. So there's a portion from Krishna, and there is separated parts, which are bhinnamsa, which means literally separated parts, which are the jivas. But so the jivas are also parts, but Prabhupada refers to them as parts and parcels, which more or less means a dislocated part, separate, and just a small part, and not as equally as powerful as this, as the original. But here, this is the verse speaks of a plenary portion of Krishna, a complete portion that is fully powerful. As Krishna is powerful, this plenary portion is powerful, is localized. This is the Supersoul. Localized means it's different from the Brahman, which is all-pervading. So this plenary portion is localized. It is imminent. It is here and everywhere. So what the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body. And the Lord, known as the Supersoul, is but his localized plenary portion. So both Brahman and the localized plenary portion, which is the goal of yoga practice, the Supersoul, is his portion, his plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, full with 6 opulences, Sadaishwarya Puna, as the verse says. He is the supreme truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. The 4th verse. Anarpitam shiram charat karunayavatirno kalalo samarpaitam munyatu vajrarasam sabakti sayam hari purita sundaram dhuti kadamba sandipita Sadavidaya Kandare Spurato Vasakinandana. May the Supreme Lord, so in the last text, so the first text was obeisances to the Absolute Truth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the different aspects of that Absolute Truth. The second text explained that he, Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda, both have simultaneously descended like what? The sun and the moon. And what is the significance of the simultaneous descent of the sun and moon? Of course we'll hear it, but because that's very rare where the sun and the moon can be seen at the same time. To remove darkness. So both come to remove the darkness. So darkness of ignorance and wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So to remove darkness, because one, as long as there is darkness, there cannot be benediction. So darkness is ignorance. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hai Andhakar, and knowledge is light. And then the greatest of benedictions. So what is that benediction? So first, that they've come to bestow. So the text 3 describes more about that Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's quite parallel to the verse Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Sabyate. So explaining that Mahaprabhu is that Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Krishna, come for a very special purpose. So text 4 and 5 and 6 will describe the purpose of Mahaprabhu's descent, the purposes rather. 4, we just read in our Pritam Churam Churat Kuna Avatirna Kalo, Karuna Avatirna Kalo. In Kali, he is the avatar, he's descended out of Karuna, out of mercy. So listen to this verse, very, very wonderful. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Now listen, so that's the final line in this. Sada Riddaya Kandare. Kandare means in the cave of your Riddaya. And Sada means always. So may Spurato manifest Vasachinandana. He's called Sachinandana. May this Sachinandana be always situated. He is so resplendent and so effulgent. And may he, the blessing is, may he be always situated within the core of your heart. Because he's come to dispel ignorance, the darkness of ignorance. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying, may he be situated in all the reader's hearts. So all the ignorance that is within our heart, for countless eons of time, may it all be dispelled by the presence of Mahaprabhu, who is like the sun. So what is it we heard before? He's like the sun. When Nityananda, and sometimes Mahaprabhu is compared to the moon also, he's called Chaitanya Chandra, and Nityananda is called Nitai Chand also. They're both compared to the moon sometimes. So how is he going to remove the darkness in the heart? He's resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, effulgent, resplendently effulgent, like molten gold. One time I went to the press mint with that group just to see what molten gold actually looks like, because they have a tour. Did you go? Linda?
Yeah.
No? Monkey? Prabhu?
I remember the mint, but not probably.
Next time, you should see. It's quite amazing. It's actually quite amazing. Mm-hmm. It's really effulgent, and it gives off an energy. It shines. It's very, it has a real incredible potency. So may that Mahaprabhu, whose effulgence is compared to molten gold, radiance of molten gold, may he always appear in the innermost chambers of your heart, in the deepest of chambers in your heart. He has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before. That's una pa ujra rasam. So bhakti in sriyam. So unata ujra rasam means abhutina kolasam at that time. Unata, elevated, the most elevated ujra rasam. Ujra is the, Prabhupada defines it here as the conjugal mellow. The ujra means a, I think it's the brightest jewel, an effulgent jewel, the topmost jewel, also it means, of ujjala rasam, which means the highest or most intimate relationship with Krishna, which is called the conjugal mellow. So bhakti, his own service, sriyam, he wants to bestow upon the living entities, and this will remove the darkness from the innermost chambers of the heart. He wants to bestow upon the living entities, out of his causeless mercy, this most wonderful jewel, resplendent, intimate, and devotional mellow of relationship with Krishna, conjugal devotional relationships, completely intimate. And it is Sriyam, his own service, and it is Sriyam, it is the treasure. He wants to bestow this treasure on the living entities, not just remove their miseries, but bestow something fully positive. That's his most intimate relationship. Sriyam Bhakti in Sriyam is Purata Sundara Dhuti. That's the Purata Sundara, more beautiful than gold. Dhuti, his splendor, his effulgence, is more beautiful than gold. Sandipata, may it always illuminate the Vidyakandare, the cave of the heart. It's a very, very beautiful verse. So therefore, let him be manifest, this son of Mother Sachi. So I'll read the verse again in this Sanskrit, and then the English. Most of the book is Bengali, but it has many Sanskrit texts as well. And the opening Mangalacharan verses are all in Sanskrit. So I'll read the Sanskrit and then the English, and then we'll stop here. Anarpitam chiram charat karunavatirno kalo samapayitum unnatu jararasam sabhaktim siyam hari puritasandradutti kadam sandipita sadhuridaya kandare spurato vasachinandana. Any questions or comments? So one by one we'll go through the verses as Kavirat Goswami explains them in quite detail.
When you talk about the absolute truth, namely non-dual, which is nothing new, and the divided into these different categories,
aspects,
where is the aspect that counted with matter or non-devotee or material energy, what we have?
Not in the Panchatattva.
But if it's non-dual, it can't be outside of the absolute.
Yes, but it's not in the Panchatattva.
So the Panchatattva isn't everything, it's just five aspects, it's not.
Well, you could say it is because Nityananda Prabhu, as we'll hear, the whole material creation is ultimately from Baladeva.
Contained.
There's different ways to look at it, because we can divide. You can look at one thing and speak about it in one way, that you can look at the same thing and speak about it in another way. So sometimes it's divided into chit shakti, jiva shakti, maya shakti. The internal energy, the external energy, and the jivas, the marginal energy, that's another way to look at it. Vishnu shakti para prokta chetragya kya tata para avidya kama sanganya kathira shakti uchate. That's another way to look at it. Certainly, the material energy is not indirectly. I was also thinking about that. Any other questions or comments?
where's the best view that you have? Krishna's characters and comedy?
It's the first three.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But they're all not as, I don't think they all are. I don't think the NLP term, I think that's perhaps by Sukhdamadar, but from Padyavari, I think so, but I think it'll be mentioned later on. And then it'll go into more verses too, than you know, the ones that we say, and they will gradually cover it. They're all, these are all Sanskrit and up and down.
Different Sanskrit.
Yeah, Vande, Guru, and Alpitam Chiram, so that is the fourth verse. Okay. Challenge, as Mother was teaching, challenge our concept of religion, our conditioned concept of religion, or spirituality. Yeah. In the first verse. Spiritual master, the devotees, unto the Supreme Lord, unto the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. It seems to be first the spiritual master, then the devotees in general, then the Supreme Lord, and then the incarnations. So I don't know any specific significance other than this is the way he's done it. And he ends with with Krishna Chaitanya. No. Incarnations. Yeah, well, that's what. Spiritual masters. So you can't do that, I think, because the spiritual masters are included certainly in the category of devotees. Anyway, I don't know. There's maybe something will come out as we read it. Yes.
He separates the spiritual masters. And he says that in the beginning, the first manifestation is the spiritual master. And then he puts the devotees into two categories.
Why don't we wait till we read it?
We already passed that point.
But we haven't.
We go back on.
Well, it comes out in the. Oh, no, we won't go over that, but it's in the book itself.
The spiritual masters are specifically delineated in the five categories of the
you make a comment.
Thank you.
I can just say that it is what he's done. No more than that. What is what he'll come in later?